Now, one of the main things that we have to thank the oceans for is allowing life to get started on Earth in the first place. But where did the building blocks, the complex organic chemicals that make life possible, actually come from in the first place? The Chicago scientist Howard Urey thought that they probably formed on the early Earth, and this spawned an amazing experiment, the results of which turned up recently again, 50 years later, in Jeff Barda's laboratory.
In the early part of the 20th century, several people had proposed that organic compounds were made directly on the early Earth and has formed a so-called prebiotic soup. And eventually in this maturing prebiotic soup, somehow life arose. But up to the time of Urey's thinking on this, no one had succeeded in making or demonstrating how you could make organic compounds in a simulated Earth environment. So Urey's idea that you had a different atmosphere was a new one, and he presented a lecture at the University of Chicago in 1952, and one of the people in the audience was a young graduate student, Stanley Miller, who was intrigued by this experiment and afterwards went to Urey and suggested that he do this experiment for his PhD thesis.
So what did he do?
Well, the first thing that Urey said was no, it was too risky an experiment for a graduate student to carry out. But Stanley persevered. And the first thing they had to consider was what kind of apparatus or how do you test this idea. So they decided to come up with the apparatus you see here in front of you, which is designed to mimic the ocean atmosphere interaction on the early Earth. So you have one flask in which you have water, and this water is boiled, and it goes up and circulates into this other flask, which is full of gas, which is considered to be a model of the atmosphere.
So that would have contained some hydrogen, some ammonia, and some methane to simulate the environment of the early Earth.
That's correct. So you'd have methane, ammonia in this flask here, which is represents the atmosphere. And then you see these two electrodes. These electrodes is where you could apply this spark, which would simulate lightning.
So how would he have actually made the sparks there?
Well, to make a spark, he would have used this thing here called a Tesla coil, which is something very similar to you see in Frankenstein movies, which generates an electric discharge. I'm going to plug this in right now, and you can hear this. So now you take this this Tesla coil and you apply it directly to the electrodes, and that generates a spark inside the flask where the gases are, and this is the way energy is injected into the system.
So when he sparked the mixture like that, what did he find?
He let this spark run, and he boiled the water last for about a week. And one of the things he noticed right away is this whole thing turned brown. It got really goopy. And one of the remarkable things was that it contained a number of amino acids, and amino acids are the components that make up proteins in all living organisms, and they're considered to be essential molecules for life. And so in this simple experiment, he'd taken methane, ammonia, and hydrogen in the presence of water and sparked it and made the building blocks of proteins, a remarkable experiment. But what's amazing about this is that he actually saved aliquots or portions of this water solution from his original experiments. And we didn't realize this till earlier this year when we found some old boxes of his in my laboratory, and inside them were these little vials that were clearly marked to show that they came from these early 1953 experiments.
So did you say, let's see what the power of modern chemistry can tell us about what's actually in these flasks?
I was extremely interested in what these might tell us today using the modern analytical tools we have at our disposal. I had two motivations in that. Stanley died last year, and I wanted to go back and revisit and see what the diversity of compounds actually was in his experiment that he may have missed. And more importantly, we realized we also had samples from a couple of other variants of the apparatus that he'd not really adequately investigated at all. He'd done some preliminary analyses, but had not done a very rigorous analysis of the products from those apparatus. And I was really intrigued by those, especially one of them, which we thought might represent an early volcanic system on the early Earth.
When you went back and analyzed the samples he'd stored, what did you find?
Well, what was interesting is that the ones that, from what we call the classic apparatus, like you see in front of us here, we pretty much showed that the major amino acids were just like he'd found before. And then there were a whole number of lesser amino acids. And so we could expand the inventory of compounds that he had actually made to, and we more or less tripled the number that he'd found.
Putting all that together, what does this tell us about the early Earth? Apart from the fact that Stanley Miller could well have been right, but what does this tell us about where the building blocks of life probably came from and the environment on the early Earth that gave rise to them?
Today, many geochemists think that the atmosphere as a whole was not reducing, did not contain methane, ammonia, and hydrogen like Stanley used in his original experiment. And as a result, we're left with the puzzle again. Where did the raw materials necessary for the original life come from? The variant of this that he had only partly tested and we reinvestigated shows that if you had a localized environment, such as an island volcanic system on the early Earth, and you were releasing volcanic gases in that, they'd be immediately subjected to volcanic lightning, and these compounds would have been synthesized in a localized environment rather than a global environment. So you can imagine early Earth being covered by hundreds of these little volcanic islands acting as little prebiotic factories. And so all of them would be contributing to the prebiotic soup. And I think this demonstrates that the idea of making compounds directly on the early Earth via processes that Miller imagined in 1953 is still very much relevant today.
It just makes you wonder, doesn't it, what other scientific gems might be lurking on the storeroom shelves of science labs elsewhere around the globe. That was Jeff Barda showing me Stanley Miller's experiments from the 1950s, in which he showed me how some of the building blocks of life could have formed on the early Earth.